superstar, it's time to shine.
Here's to the fierce queens, the delusional dreamer, the one who thinks she's all that because she marches to the beat of her own drum. She's not afraid to embrace her flaws, and she finds power in using failure as fuel for evolution. Defying the limits imposed by perfectionism and imposter syndrome, she faces her fears with full confidence in God, because the one who put her here also called her to have dominion here. My name is Barbara Moahi, your online bestie and chair executive officer. Join me and women across the world who refuse to let fear keep them from their wildest dreams. This is Boldly Becoming.
Hey girl, so today on the podcast we're talking all about the fear of failure and becoming brave. And I think this is something that a lot of us can relate to, myself included. I have had so many ideas that I wanted to pursue and so many things that still to this day, there's some things where I'm like, I really want to do this, but I'm not sure that it's going to be received as well as I intend for it to be received. Obviously, as a content creator, a lot of the things that I put out are subjective. So I can think something is the best thing in the world, but then I put it out and then it's like, oh, this sucks. And now I'm getting dragged on Twitter because nobody really gets the vision behind what I was doing. And a lot of times it feels like there isn't space to grow. There isn't space to change your mind. And I know that isn't entirely true. And a lot of those thoughts are built up in my mind by overthinking, by imposter syndrome and perfectionism. But one thing that I consistently do is show up for myself. I think I've spent a good portion of my life being afraid to shine my light in case it was offensive to someone else or in case it wasn't as bright as I thought it would be. And I think it's safe to say that we all face moments when the fear of failure grips us tightly. And it's okay to acknowledge that. So take a deep breath because you're safe here. And I'm going to share with you three ways that myself and other powerful women that I absolutely adore, like Michelle Obama, overcome our fear of failure. But first, let's talk about what the fear of failure is. There's actually a quote by Michelle Obama that I love, and it says that failure is a feeling long before it becomes an actual result. It's vulnerability that breeds with self-doubt and then is escalated, often deliberately, by fear. So if I break it down for you, what the quote is basically saying is that failure begins as a feeling inside of you, right? And this feeling is caused by vulnerability, which you kind of have to have if you're going to be honest about your dreams, and self-doubt. And it can become a real result if you let that fear take over and affect your actions, which at the end of the day, all boils down to self-sabotage. Because when you feel vulnerable, it means you feel exposed. Like you need to cover yourself up or protect yourself. And I think this is what makes us so afraid to let people know what our dreams are at times and causes us to be defensive. Because think about it, you're exposed, you feel naked. Of course you're going to want to cover up. No, not okay, not nobody, but not a lot of people that I know want to walk up and down the streets of Gauteng or wherever it is that you live completely butt naked. That can be a very daunting experience, because what if they don't like your bums, you know? Or what if someone makes a comment on the shape of your boobs? And so basically vulnerability is the fear that we are putting ourselves in an exposing position. So that was part one of the quote. And then part two speaks about self-doubt, right? And self-doubt for me is when I question my abilities or think that I might not be good enough. And this can cause me sometimes to spiral into overthinking. Yo, I can imagine like the worst case scenarios. And I think being in that state of mind sometimes also forces me to do things that I don't necessarily mean. Like someone could be offering me the opportunity. Say my dream is now to be a TV presenter, and I'm there walking, minding my own business in the middle of the mall, and someone walks up to me and says, hey, MTV is here doing a presenter search and whoever's the best presenter will win. Do it now. Now I haven't mentally prepared myself for it because I'm that kind of person. I like to mentally prepare myself for situations. I don't like being thrown in the deep end or being caught off guard. So, I mean, it's technically like an unrealistic way to live life because life happens and life doesn't ask for permission to happen to you. It just does. So for me, it sometimes pushes me to act in ways that can make the possibility of failure more likely or will prolong my journey to success. So instead of just taking the mic and saying, sure, I'll do the MTV presenter search because I believe in my abilities, regardless of whether you catch me right now or you catch me next week, I'm like, no, I don't actually want to be a presenter. Oh, actually, let me give you an example. That's a real life example that actually happened to me. A couple of years ago, I was in the church choir, right? And I'm someone who loves to sing. Like, I sing all of the time, in the car, in the shower, washing dishes. Us, my siblings and my parents, they absolutely hate it. And I do it all the time. And I remember as a child, actually, my mom, I was singing, what was I singing? I think I was singing a Beyonce song. It was either Halo or Ego. I can't remember. And my mom says to me, wow, you are such a great singer. You should consider joining a church choir or a choir something in the community. And I was like, what do you mean I must consider joining a choir? Where am I going to find a choir? And she was like, oh, I don't know. At the time, we weren't attending church as a family. And I'm not someone who grew up in the church. So even the idea of like, oh, I could just join a church choir didn't occur to me. And there was one instance where I joined, I think there were auditions at my primary school. I was in grade 3 and it was being manned by grade 7s. So the grade 7s were holding auditions for this choir. And I remember I went to the front. I think they were like, oh, does anyone want to go first? And me being that person, like the confident kid I was like, yeah, I'll go first. And I went to the front. And I still remember the song. I sang Hosanna. If anyone doesn't know that song, it goes, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the one who comes, blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But like the song keeps climbing as you sing. And I remember, I sang that song with my chest. Was I shaking? Was my voice shaking? It was shaking. Was I afraid? I was afraid. Well, I wouldn't say I was afraid. I was just more like, oh, this is uncomfortable. But I did it anyway. And I remember like just the grade 7 girls kind of like giggling and laughing and whatever. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay. It's giving you can't sing. Your mother lied to you. So fast forward to a couple of years later, I'm now in grade 8 and I joined the church choir. And to join the church choir, you don't actually have to audition. You just like join. They ask you, are you a soprano, alto, whatever. And then I guessed because I didn't know. I was like alto because everyone that I asked seemed to be an alto. So I was like, okay, cool. Then I must be an alto as well. And I went and I joined the church choir. And what used to happen during church practices is that we would stand in a circle and then rehearse the songs that would be sung during the service. But our music director used to walk around in a circle, like listening to us sing, and he would just keep looping around in the circle as we all sang together. And then at some point he'll stop and say, okay, now Kelsey, you're going to lead the song, go. And then Kelsey would grab the mic, lead the song while the rest of us sang as a choir. And something that they always used to say in the church choir was like, singing is not necessarily about talent as much as it is about skill. And if you learn to submit your talent to God, I don't know how to make this like concept make sense to you, but basically like God can do a lot with a little than I can do with the little that I have. And so one day during choir practice, we're singing as usual. And then he says, okay, Barbara, you lead the song. And I was like, I must lead the song. I said, no. And then he said, lead the song. I said, no, I want to be a part of the choir. And I remember like literally running out of the choir practice. It was in the auditorium. So I ran out to outside and I never went back to choir practice ever again because he wanted me to put myself in a vulnerable position where I would grab the mic, sing and lead the song, and then receive constructive feedback on how I can do better the next time, and eventually then work my way to a position where I'm leading worship in a service. And I'm telling you the story because I want you to see how irrational I acted in a moment where an opportunity was presented to me because of the fear of failure. And I think this is why I keep saying the fear of failure leads to self-sabotaging acts, because instead of working in small, consistent steps to getting to where I will eventually be successful, I want to grab a mic and sing and be better than Beyonce, like, and be better than Selena Gomez. I don't know, that was so random. I don't know why I thought of Selena Gomez, but you know what I mean? Instead of taking that opportunity as, okay, I'm going to go for it despite my fear of failure, and the result of me, quote unquote, failing would be the opportunity to be better at what it was that I was afraid of failing at to begin with. For a lot of people in my circle and a lot of people who I know that are now pursuing the dreams that they once thought they weren't good enough to perceive, it always gets traced back to an incident or a scenario as a child where they were completely confident in what they were doing or who they were, and then somebody told them it wasn't a good thing to be like that, which caused self-doubt. And I know for me, I had teachers constantly telling me, like, well, not teachers, it was just like one or two haters in my schooling career that were like, you're just a lot. Like, as a child, you are a lot and you need to be shut down. And people who go out of their way to humble you because you're just a personality that's too big. I actually recently did an interview with Mpumi Khumalo, who I absolutely love. And she was like, in the introduction, she asked me to send her my bio. So I thought that would be my introduction. But literally, when the podcast started, she completely threw away my bio and instead decided to describe how she perceived me and how she received me when we met, because that was the first day we met and the camera crew was there and everyone. And she was like, the moment Barbara walks in a room, the room gets filled with this energy that I can't explain. And I think I spent a lot of time as a child trying to dim that energy and shying away from things that I knew I was good at, or I wanted to just get better at because I had the potential to be better at those things. But I didn't. I didn't, because someone said something or did something that made me feel insecure about that. And I actually think pushing the thing away that you are dreaming of doing, or the skill that you are dreaming of growing, prolongs your path to success. In my particular case, a lot of the things that I have been successful at were as a result of my personality, and that big, bold energy that fills a room that Mpumi was referring to, that in my childhood, people were trying to dim and tell me was wrong. So essentially, what I'm trying to tell you is your fear of failure is holding you back. And the only way that you can subdue it is if you take the bull by its horns and bark back at it. Because what the fear of failure is all bark and no bite. Sure, you're gonna feel uncomfortable for a moment, but taking that bull by the horns and showing it that you are the one who has power. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Another translation says God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, because that's all it is. It takes discipline to subdue your fear of failure. It takes you having courage. It takes you taking the small steps and being diligent to work at your weaknesses, so that when opportunity meets you on the road, you're ready. And you're not just ready, you are confident in your ability to face the challenge head on, because you've practiced it time and time again through the consistent little works that you were doing. But more than that, you know that rejection or redirection in this case will only lead you to a stronger and better version of yourself, because you get to go home with your notebook and work on the things that didn't go the way that you intended for them to go. That's what we do when we do netball. That's what we do when we go to the gym. That's what we do when we try diets. That's what we do when we go to different doctors, try different medicine. It's not that you're not going to get healed. It's not that you're not going to have a fit body. It's just that the method that you were putting in was not the most effective. And a lot of us can relate to being a student, you know, in university or in high school, and you have to study for this math test, you have to study for this module that everybody fails, and you procrastinate as a form of self-preservation. We've all been there. So you put the task off because you don't think you're good enough and you don't like the feeling of being uncomfortable. And as a recovering perfectionist and overachiever, I can relate to the feeling of not wanting to go back when I have 5% for an exam and look at where I made mistakes and look at where I went wrong, because it's an uncomfortable process. But unfortunately, you have to learn how to do it if you want to have healthy relationships and a healthy relationship with rejection and failure. The same way you don't want to have a friend that gaslights you or invalidates your feelings, but takes accountability for how their actions made you feel, is the same way that you have to be accountable for the actions that you might be taking that are contributing to your failure. There's a podcaster that I absolutely love, and I'm sure you listen to her podcast too, Guguletu Nyanzumba, and her whole story can be put and summarized into two words, which is uncomfortable growth. And I think the wording uncomfortable growth is so genius, because growth is uncomfortable. But in order for your life to be what it was destined to be, and in order for you to grow into the next level of who you are, you're going to have to be uncomfortable. We've all heard it on social media that life starts outside of your comfort zone. So for as long as you keep yourself in the comfort zone, nothing will ever change for you. And I know being outside the comfort zone is scary. It's easier to have a big talk about you need to get out your comfort zone, you need to do this, and it's a completely different thing to have to actually live it. So here are three things that I want to share with you that I found in my journey were helpful to help me embrace this uncomfortable growth. And the first thing was to have compassion, to recognize and accept my fears. It's okay to feel afraid of failure, and I think we have to acknowledge that everyone experiences fear at some point. So don't be too hard on yourself for having this emotion, or any emotion really. Allow yourself to experience the highs and the lows of your journey. You are not perfect. And I think what the fear of failure does, and this whole idea of perfectionism and imposter syndrome, is it almost convinces you that you need to make sure that you work really hard to appear better than you actually know you are capable of doing, so that other people around you would think highly of you and not find out who you really are. Because that's the essence of what imposter syndrome is that one day people are going to know that you're not as smart as you think you are, or you walk into a room and you don't feel like you deserve to be there. And here's the thing, is like, nobody is holding you to that unrealistic standard except your inner thoughts. So be kind to yourself. And I think this is also how we learn to be resilient, is by being compassionate and recognizing when we are sad, but also realizing that it's our responsibility to do the work required in order to heal from the times when people made you feel a certain way for wanting your dream, or heal from the rejection that came with pursuing your dream, but also the responsibility to do the work required to be a better version of yourself. And I think it goes without saying that it's something that requires courage. And that's the second point that I wanted to share with you, is that you gotta pray for courage. Pray for courage. I think the best way that I found courage was by looking for support in the correct spaces and places. As much as people are usually the reason why we end up having self-doubt, people are also the reason why we end up seeing parts of ourselves that we weren't able to see. I think my friends and my community and my mentors are largely to thank for where I find myself today, because if they didn't back me up and say, I think you're really good at this, you're going to make a great Miss SA. I think you're really good at this, you're going to make a great podcaster. I think you're really great at this. And I'm not saying that my reliance is on their validation, but it helps me to have people who can confirm the gift that I believe God has given me. But it also takes courage to learn from your past experiences. It takes courage to reflect on your past failures and your setbacks and identify what went wrong and what you learned from those situations. And all this does is help you avoid making the same mistakes in future. Michelle Obama actually spoke on the fear of failure, and I did promise at the beginning that I'll share something that she uses. And what she said is, you need courage to learn from your failures. You need failures to help you be challenged and inspire you to do more, to take some risks and to step outside your comfort zone. It's an article, and I think you can just Google Michelle Obama fear of failure and you can see the whole article. But for example, if you're afraid that you're going to get injured in a bodybuilding competition, that should inspire you to clock in extra hours at the gym, lifting those weights, because that builds your muscle, makes you stronger, but also gives you the evidence that you are capable of doing hard things. And that is the thing that will give you the courage to take action regardless of your fear. And I think sometimes for a lot of people, you have to stop thinking about it and just go. Just take the leap of faith, even though you're afraid. And that brings me to my last step, which is conscientiousness. Very difficult word. But all that conscientiousness means is that you desire to do a task well. There's actually a scripture that I'm reminded of now. I don't have my Bible with me. It's at my mom's house. But it's Romans 12 in the Message translation that says, whatever you do, whether you eat, walk, pray, sleep, fart, do it to the glory of God. And I think when your mindset shifts from wanting to be perfect to wanting to glorify God, that puts a different kind of fear in you. Now you have to be organized. You want to be disciplined, detail-oriented, thoughtful, and careful, because your confidence in your ability to do something or your confidence in your ability to do what God has called you to do doesn't happen by accident and doesn't happen by you running away from your dreams and visions. But it takes you organizing your life in a manner that supports your goals and being disciplined enough to follow the structure that you've organized. That's what conscientiousness means. It means being thoughtful of every detail and being careful not to be oversensitive to criticism, but rather welcome it so as to use it to become a better version of yourself and be able to set realistic goals. So now that I've got the criticism, for example, if we take me, I've got the criticism from the judges at Miss South Africa, and let's say the one criticism is work on your walk, right? This is just a silly example. They didn't actually say that. But I have to take that big goal that seems like a mountain, like how am I gonna work on my goal, into smaller, consistent, achievable steps. And this approach makes the process less overwhelming and reduces the fear of failure. So I think actually in the spirit of transparency, I'll give you an actual point of feedback that they gave me, and that was to work on my interview skills, which I also realized I needed to work on in the moment that the interview was actually going on. So when I left the room of the top 30 judging, I didn't like feel like, oh, I'm such a failure, I'll feel bad about myself. I literally had the most peace about knowing that I wouldn't progress into the next stage of the competition. Because even for myself, I realized that, hey, I have to work on getting my point across in a certain amount of time without diving into a million stories. And I think you would have seen that with this podcast, that I'm someone who loves to tell stories. I love to go into details and off track and come back onto track and all that kinds of stuff. But if I tell myself, in order for me to do better in Miss SA, I need to be a powerful speaker like Zozibini Tunzi and just get there and tell people to take up space. And now everyone is inspired and they feel like they need to take up space. I need to set that and break it down into smaller achievable goals. What does that look like? Practicing my public speaking, practicing getting my point across in the most concise way possible. And that's what I'm doing with this podcast to some degree. I'm practicing and giving myself the opportunity to learn how to articulate myself without taking forever to get to the point. Which, I mean, I guess I'm not doing too well because this episode is definitely going on for way too long. But yeah, this is me. I'm showing up and I'm still trying. I'm not there yet, but I'm celebrating every milestone as I go. And maybe the next episode will be shorter. And guess what? I'm going to celebrate that because I'm going to be better. So it's about focusing on the process and not just the outcome. Concentrating on giving my best effort rather than obsessing over becoming this great speaker. Because when I do my best in the showing up every day, the outcome is more likely to reflect that effort. And I think it's important not to wait until you achieve your ultimate goal to celebrate, but acknowledge and reward yourself for the progress that you make along the way, no matter how small it is. So yeah, if by episode 2 it's like half the time of this one, clap for me. If it's 5 minutes late, clap for me. And if you don't clap for me, that's fine, because I'm gonna clap for myself. You know why? Because I'm choosing to embrace the fact that my abilities and my intelligence can be developed through effort and training. And a growth mindset allows you to see challenges as opportunities to improve rather than potential failures, which is linked to challenging negative thoughts, which is the last thing that I wanted to share with you, is that when you catch yourself thinking negatively or anticipating failure, challenge those thoughts. Remember that God has given you not a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And the other translation I gave you was of self-discipline. You get to choose whether you're going to wallow in self-pity or replace it with things that are true, things that are lovely, things that are worthy of praise. There's actually, I'm paraphrasing a scripture. It's in Philippians 4, I think, that says, focus and fix your thoughts on things that are true, lovely, pure, all this stuff. And when I had a dream that I believed I needed to pursue, and you know, God is for me and this is what God wants me to do, I had to fix my thoughts on things that were true. And this is why I say conscientiousness plays such a big role in subduing the fear of failure, because you have to be diligent. You have to be careful about the things that you allow to take root in your mind and grow and become robust thoughts. I don't know if you've ever heard of the concept of a stronghold, right? But that's what happens when negative thoughts are allowed to come in and do as they please, and there's almost no gate for the thoughts that you think in your mind, then those negative thoughts can become a stronghold. And a stronghold is a deeply rooted belief that doesn't allow anything other than what it says is true to be true, even if it's true. And I think in today's term, they would call it a self-limiting belief. Yeah? Limiting self-belief, something like that. I don't know. I'm not really great at English. I told you, this is something that I'm trying to work on. But you really have to be resolute in your decision to say, I am not going to allow any thought to stop me and deter me from doing my best. And if the thought is negative, and if the negative thought is true, then the answer is simple. I go back to the drawing board and I say, okay, the negative thought is, I am not great at public speaking. I suck at interview. I will never be good enough. But what is the truth? The truth is, I might not be great at public speaking right now. I might not have the best interview skills in the world right now. But if I work at it consistently, I can be the best person for the job. But because I put my mind to it. So it's literally just a game of taking your negative thoughts and turning those negative thoughts into affirmations that fuel your success. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me. I think I'm going to leave it here today. We've said a lot. There's been a lot to chew on and think about, but I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a professional of any sort. I'm just a girl with big dreams who continuously chooses to live outside of her comfort zone. And the three things that have helped me consistently stay out of my comfort zone, even in times of rejection, is being compassionate, kind to myself, and saying, you know what, it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to acknowledge the feelings you're feeling right now. Yes, be disappointed because you worked hard. Or yes, be sad because you were rejected. But remember, it's also your responsibility to heal so you can show up as a better version of yourself. And then the second thing that I did was to be courageous, that after I've done all the healing, or sometimes even during my process of healing, I chose to go for it anyway, despite how I feel, because my fear of failure doesn't necessarily mean that I am going to fail. It just shows me that I'm very passionate about what it is that I'm pursuing. And that is why I should be conscientious and work on my goal in small steps that I can manage, instead of trying to do everything in the last minute and then be left with disappointment and evidence of the fact that I'm not good enough, when if I was being honest with myself, I just didn't show up as the best version of myself and I didn't prepare as best as I possibly could have. So that's it from me today. I'm gonna love and leave you, but remember, you've got this, because God's got you, and I believe in you. Washa?